Hello and welcome once again to the RTE Politics Team podcast. Your politics, Joe McGrailey here in the seat for Áine Lawler, who is at Bloom this afternoon. Áine, if you're listening, I hope it's not raining there because I did see a few umbrellas going around the place earlier on in the news reportage. Joined here in the studio where it's nice and dry by Paul Cunningham, Sandra Hurley and Micheál Lehane. And lots to talk about this week, guys. So much has been happening. Particularly the issue of Palestine, that has been front and centre, Paul, once again today. I mentioned Bloom, the president was talking about how criticising Israel has been equated with anti-Semitism, which he strongly rejected. But also in the Dáil again, we saw Catherine Connolly and the Taoiseach Simon Harris locking horns on this issue and what the government is or isn't doing.
Yeah, it's a peculiar one because both the government and the opposition have the same ultimate objective. They want an immediate ceasefire. They want to get humanitarian aid in. They want the hostages released. And they want some form of political solution, those negotiations to take place on a two-state solution. Everyone agrees on that. The question is the strategy behind it. And from the opposition, they're saying if genocide is taking place, as the Taoiseach has been saying and the Taoiseach has been saying on numerous occasions this week, then you have to immediately act. You have to pull all of the levers possible. So one of the levers that they're seeking for is to go to the General Assembly of the United Nations, have a motion put down. This was put forward by the Labour Party so that you can have peacekeepers going into Gaza to get aid. Another one came from Sinn Féin. They said they wanted these Israeli bonds. Now, there's a prospectus. The central bank here in Ireland just looks at it in a technical way. Is that appropriate or not? Sinn Féin says, let's get after that and make sure that the Irish central bank doesn't have that authority anymore. The Occupied Territories Bill, for every week it comes up. They're saying, let's do it now. Let's sit through the night, have it enacted before the summer. But the government is saying is that we're moving, but we have to be a bit more strategic. If we're going to advance things, we should try and take along as many other European member states as possible, because the only way you're going to get action on the Israeli government is if it is coordinated action by the United States and by the European Union.
And the constant accusation then from the opposition is, and from Catherine Connolly, who's any time she stood up in the Dáil, it's very pointed and it's very it's very well pointed, I suppose.
Exactly.
Really.
She keeps saying,
she says,
what are
you are
doing?
Not doing enough.
Exactly.
Enough,
what are you doing?
And you're complicit in genocide. And the Taoiseach really didn't take to that.
No.
Line of
first of all, he said
today.
First of all, he said that you're always throwing brickbats at me, something that she denied. And then he was saying, and this was an echo of what Micheál Martin had been saying in the Dáil on Wednesday, which is, you know, the opposition seems to be claiming this, the high moral ground.
Mm. Moral superiority
moral
seems to be
superiority,
an agreed line in
and
the government
now. It's absolutely wrong because we are acting and we're actually being successful. So what we heard from the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party last night was that they can expect Gaza to be the issue, which is pushed at them this week, next week and all the way through to mid-July.
And while they were chatting in the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party or shortly after it, the vote in the Dáil on the Israeli war bonds bill that Sinn Féin had put forward resulted in two people going overboard.
Going
for
overboard,
the government.
But more a gentle dip into less than choppy waters, I think, especially for Barry Heenan. I think within government, there was some expectation that Barry Heenan, who is one of those independent TDs supporting the government, might go on that one. But it is, they are still aligned to government. They will be back for the next vote. Gillian Toole, the quieter independent TD from Meath East, I think that was something of a surprise. And the reason she cited was an interesting one. She spoke about the lack of a detailed briefing from government as to what impact that Sinn Féin proposal would have on EU legislation, as she put it. She didn't get that. So as a result, she cast her vote. Mm. And I think it is fair to say that the government's defence on that one and their explanation wasn't detailed. They said it was unworkable and they said it wasn't in compliance with EU law and that essentially what the central bank is doing is an EU competence. But they didn't elaborate beyond that. And of course, that does contrast with fairly detailed enough legal advice that was sent to Sinn Féin from the legal advisors office here at the Oireachtas, saying you can't guarantee that there wouldn't be EU infringement proceedings, but you are within your rights to give this a go, essentially, to pass the legislation because you are acting to uphold international law.
Yes, and I suppose I should make it clear that obviously the Fianna Fáil parliamentary party meeting had to be over when the voting was going on in the Dáil, or else they wouldn't be in there to vote as well. Mm-hmm. Sandra?
But it's still a significant moment, given that you had a mammoth task to try and put that government together, that you had the huge row around the speaking rights, that the two people who didn't vote with the government last night were classed as not being members of the opposition by the Ceann Comhairle. essentially. And it does show that even though you have those numbers potentially up to 95, that there is more of a fragility to it. And there's more of a fragility to it, notwithstanding the fact that there definitely is some kind of tacit understanding about constituency projects, albeit through the National Development Plan and the like. So that is a bit of a shock.
Yes,
to
but wasn't, this was what was built into the government negotiations at the beginning, though, Sandra, wasn't it? That they wanted to have those extra TDs in case of losses throughout the next 5 years. There are no losses yet, but this is a bit of a shake. But I was wondering then as well, this isn't in the programme for government, so therefore hardly a TD who's supporting as an independent is probably not bound by anything that isn't in the programme for government per se.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting on a few fronts last night. Barry Heenan was certainly one of the people, probably the person who you would have thought was the most likely to first go overboard from the government. And as Micheál mentioned, he hasn't completely gone overboard. He hasn't broken ties with the government, but he voted against them on this particular action. But I think it's important that he said that it was a matter of conscience for him. And we know that in the past, for matters of conscience, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have given TDs free votes. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. And it's one that I think he might have a little bit more latitude on, because they did win comfortably in the end.
You could see when Sinn Féin were proposing that bill about the Israeli war bonds in the chamber on Wednesday, it got very heated then as well. I mean, the passion in this, because I suppose we've seen the language that everybody's using around Gaza by political leaders in this country, opposition and ministers and the Taoiseach an Tánaiste. I mean, before it was a headline when they said this is a war crime. It's not a headline now at all anymore because of what has continued to get worse and worse in Gaza.
Undoubtedly, the opposition has pushed the government to increase the intensity of its language. And we really saw that today, that use of the word genocide by Simon Harris in the chamber. On the war bonds bill, it is certainly, it's again another symbolic bill. I think it's not the case that a huge amount of these bonds are going to be sold across Europe.
Yeah.
The central bank has been landed with a total headache because post-Brexit, the UK used to approve these prospectus for the Israeli bonds, the war bonds as they're called. Then Israel decided to move that to Dublin. I watched an Oireachtas committee before Christmas where Gabriel McLouf was grilled on this, the head of the central bank, by Pearse Doherty. Pearse Doherty had certainly done his homework. Yeah. And Gabriel McLouf again gave that explanation that their hands were tied. The only role they had was a technical one. But he did add that their approval of it in a technical way was not a sort of tacit endorsement of what these bonds are doing. And it is the case that they are used to fund the war effort.
Although I think the Sinn Féin argument is that if the central bank doesn't approve the prospectus, then they can't be sold. And that's what Sinn Féin was targeting in their ability.
But it'll go elsewhere. Someone else
will have to face it. But it's interesting. There's two things which sprung out of that. The first was among the government side. They felt that this was further evidence of Sinn Féin bringing the street into the Oireachtas, that campaign. So we did have the Dáil, which had to be paused for 5 minutes as around 40 demonstrators stood up, chanted, directed their ire.
In the public gallery
of the Dáil chamber, directed their ire at the finance minister, Pascal Donoghue. And among Sinn Féin TDs, there was a sense that Pascal Donoghue, and this is just the political charge, could have let that go to committee stage, so it could have been, the whole argument could have been ventilated, chose to shut it down too early, and they suggested that was because he might be embarrassed when he was heading back to Brussels as the chair of Eurogroup. So there's an awful lot of...
no doubt he rejects completely.
Well, absolutely reject. But you just get that sense of the tension that's there on this particular issue, and we know that come... But it's not sitting next week, the Dáil, but the week after, Gaza will be front and centre again.
It was interesting yesterday when the TDs held up signs in the Dáil as well saying stop genocide when that vote was rejected. The general public couldn't see it if they're looking in, Micheál, because immediately the cameras in the chamber just went on to the Cian Corlea, so you couldn't actually see it.
No, you couldn't see it. And this time you didn't have Paul Murphy on filming duty. So
that's right, yes,
so
yeah.
He caught some
memorable moments in the chamber
before.
Asian Fane
person in the public gallery took a photograph which Mary Lou McDonald then tweeted out, and that was widely circulating in various WhatsApp groups. So you could see it on social media.
Yeah. It was a powerful image, though, wasn't it? Largely across most of the opposition parties standing up with saying ban Israel bonds and stop funding genocide.
But it's against the parliamentary rules.
Against the parliamentary rules, once again.
But even though, again, the House technically, I think, had gone into adjournment.
Yeah.
So it's slightly less clear.
But yeah. When Joe Biden was in and when Bono was in, that rule about photographs went out the window. So.
Very good. Something else, the other
thing.
Sorry,
team. Joe, just have a huge question that was asked under privilege at the Committee on Arts and Media by the Chair, Alan Kelly. Under privilege now. And when is the quality of the podcast coming from RTE going to dramatically improve? Because I never listened to him. Because to be frank about it, they are nowhere near up to the standard required.
Well, if he's not listening to this one, he's missing out on some incredible gems.
He's been a guest on this show.
Well, he couldn't listen that day. And we'll take it on the chin here. And indeed, if anybody wants to write in, even somebody from the other podcast, yourpolitics@rte.ie.
Kevin Backers, the Director General of RTE, did endeavour to answer this a few times, but then he deferred to Patricia Monaghan, who is head of audio, I believe. And she said that the RTE is currently in the procuring a new audio app, which is going to improve things, that will launch next summer.
Mm. Okay.
She also said, because Alan Kelly was very keen to have a GAA podcast, that there is a GAA podcast, but he said that isn't one that he listens to. And he also predicted or guessed that Peter Chapclear, the former Kilkenny hurler and Camogie successful manager, he said he wouldn't be listening to that either. He guessed.
Who is a member of the committee yesterday as well, and did speak.
We need some clarity on this one, don't we?
We'll immediately talk to Alan afterwards and see what he'd like to come on and clarify. The other issue then, if you're finished, Micheál, the housing team.
I think he's got a few more in him.
Even Colm out there on the buttons is beginning to fall off his chair laughing. The housing theme, though, the infrastructure theme, this is another thing that we heard an awful lot about this week in the Chamber. Sandra, you were reporting on the ASRI at the Infrastructure Committee on Tuesday. What were they saying about the number of houses we will possibly build versus the target that the government has?
Yes, it was the Housing Committee on Tuesday, and the Central Bank was in as well. And both said we are not going to hit our targets this year for housing. The target is 41,000. The ESRI predicts it could be 34,000. Central Bank says 35,000. But what was stark was that under questioning, it seemed that all the risks are on the downside, which is economists speak for we're actually going to revise our numbers downward most likely as the year goes on, because they said quarter one was so poor in terms of the outturn of housing delivery in that case. Now, the Housing Minister, James Brown, was out that day making an announcement about how they are going to
extend the planning permissions. Yes, yes.
Exactly. And he was asked about these predictions and he was careful not to nail himself down onto a particular prediction, because we know that caused a lot of difficulty last year. Yeah. But he did admit that it's going to be extremely challenging and there is no one solution. This is what we hear they have to do. Clearly, the planning permissions is only going to unlock certain number of homes. It's not going to deliver this scale, but his point is you have to deliver you have to use every lever. But I was also struck that he very strongly made the point that if they're going to scale up from the current 30,000 to 50 or 60,000, they need huge input from the private sector. And that is something that the opposition is really against.
And they need to make a choice between AI and housing, according to the Secretary General, was it, of the Department of the Environment?
Yes.
Quoted in the newspapers today, Paul.
All of these data centres are gobbling up all of the sort of spare electricity, and it's getting to a point where strategic choices are going to have to be made between things like housing or artificial intelligence. Interesting that a senior diplomat would decide to sort of come out and speak about these things, because it puts the minister, who is already under pressure, under even more pressure. And the silver bullet, we're told, is going to come when the Housing for All plan is going to be revamped and released in July. Mm. But after all of the things that Sandra said, it needs to be something new. What is it that's going to unlock things? Because we've had both the Taoiseach and the Tánaiste recently kick in the local authorities, saying they're not doing enough. Some are, but an awful lot aren't. So they're getting a bit of a dig. And we also hear from the private sector that they've locked in an awful lot of their plans. So just exactly what is the silver bullet? What is the thing that's going to be revealed in July?
Yeah.
Because James Brown, new minister, smart guy, but if he comes out with a plan which doesn't have much in it or much new, he and his government is going to be on the back foot immediately.
Yeah, Micheál, it seems the silver bullet from listening to the Tánaiste and the Dáil today is going to be more investment, basically. Investment.
Yeah,
money.
Investment in infrastructure.
Yes.
So water, electricity. It says freeing up planning, some delivering planning somehow quicker to use the new planning act. Also zoning a lot more land. And that seems to be the key to it. But I mean, you look at those figures, 34,000 this year, 37,000 next year, the ESRI said. But then the central bank saying, if you really want to go at this for the next 25 years or so, you need at least 54,000 a year houses being built. So that that shows the magnitude of the challenge.
I was talking to a backbencher yesterday evening, strolling back from that book launch. I was asking specifically if the housing issue is coming up. He said it's coming up all the time. He said they're really vulnerable on this, that people are really at their end of their tethers.
But it's just words today that it's the biggest domestic challenge facing the country. And there is a sense, isn't there, that the social contract has been broken.
Yes.
That if you have work and if you have quite a well-paid job, not alone is not buying a house a reality at this point for many people, even renting and being able to rent, especially in the bigger cities and indeed across the country now, that's becoming something that's increasingly difficult to do as well. So that does strike a massive dysfunction.
Sandra?
I think the big difficulty politically is that there is a belief at senior levels that the way to unlock more private sector investment is to give them what they're looking for. The private sector is complaining about viability. They can't sell houses
remove
or
the rent
apartments.
Caps, you mean?
Yeah, well, it's that type of thing. Our tax breaks, both of those are politically extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. Private sector builders are telling them that we can't build apartments and sell them at a reasonable price that people can actually afford to buy and cover our costs. Therefore, they want some kind of subsidy, probably in the form of a tax break. If that was to happen, it would happen in the budget. So that's not until October. But you've already had that public argument between the Taoiseach and the finance minister, Pascal Donoghue, who is against the idea of tax breaks. Micheál Martin floated the idea. But I think that is the potential. That is where I think the government is looking to move at. Certainly some in government want to move in that direction. But we know that's going to be extremely heated because it throws us back into the crash and all the tax breaks.
Could
that
it be the defining issue for this government?
Oh, yeah.
How they handle
housing.
Just
like housing. The last one. Yeah.
Definitely, yes, undoubtedly.
And I suppose if the true figures were out there the last time, there are people, even on the government side, who say this time, and I wasn't certain that that was the case, but there are people sitting on the back benches now who say they believe they may not have got elected at all, and you wouldn't see those numbers of TDs for Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil if those true numbers had come out in terms of how many houses were going to be built. Interesting too, another thing that Micheál Martin spoke a lot about some years ago was kind of new modern building methods. And I think there's a strategy paper on that on the way, that could be seen as something that could change the game somewhat.
Yeah, there's many actions been taken. The delivery is where it'll all be judged, though, isn't it? Isn't that it, really? It comes down to delivery.
It is down to delivery. And just as what Micheál and Sandra were saying is that even if you are initiating tax changes, that's, you know, not happening till the end of this year, not introduced until next year, which fits into building 2-3 years down the line in the lifetime of this government.
Yes.
The government is already backed into a corner, already, and they're only in.
And there is some anecdotal suggestions out there that some developers have paused investment because of the potential of tax breaks being introduced later in the year. Because they were floated early, they're holding back on spending the money.
Is there a suggestion that the government is going to meet with developers? And
there's going to be, before the Housing for All strategy comes out, there's going to be a big conference convened with builders, policy groups, housing charities, the works.
Okay.
That's being hailed as a massive thing. But of course, I remember being at one of them years and years ago.
Alan Kelly did one, didn't he?
And Owen Murphy did one as well.
So that's between now and July then. So we look out for that
at some point
in
June. The other proposal from, I think, the central bank paper to the committee this week was the need maybe that government could co-finance smaller building firms when it came to certain projects. As well as that, there was an idea that you'd have standard designs which could improve productivity in the building sector as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, have the same design right across the country so that you don't have to waste time and money on design and all the rest of it and architectural services. Something else that we've been talking about in the past here on this podcast, and indeed we've had it on the website and in our news reports, is the X-ray machine for the National Gallery. The so-called the requirement for an X-ray machine so you can check out what you have in your painting and maybe what's underneath the surface of that painting, €124,000, and we've news today that they finally found a place to put it, Micheál.
Yeah, so that was bought in 2017 and there wasn't a suitable room to place it
there
in the gallery because of the
load-bearing
capacity, because it does have to be surrounded by lead, but there is now a lead box essentially has been commissioned and is on the way. But I think when that's all going to be ready and completed, that's going to cost about 225,000, the actual lead to surround the scanner. Mm-hmm. But the gallery saying that won't come from Exchequer funding, that'll come from existing funds that they have and have raised.
That's no doubt going to be some focus from the opposition as well, Sandra. Another example of the type of expenditure that has been let go out of control.
Yes, and we saw all this, a lot of parties jumping on this before the election. I didn't watch the committee, but I heard one curious thing, that there's an active Garda investigation into bugging at the National Gallery. The bosses were asked about that, and that's all they could say. There was an active Garda investigation. That seems curious as well.
What's going on in the National Gallery, Paul?
I don't know, but we can't throw any brickbats, given that there were also some investigations into our own station only this week.
Yes, RTE executives were before the committee yesterday. They were there for about 3 hours. How did we do, do you think?
Well, it wasn't like anything like the drama and fireworks that we had 2 years ago, but it was still, you know, hauled over the coals and, you know, 3.6 million euro write down in relation to an IT project. You know, why did that happen? How did that happen? Then in the course of the proceedings, we found out there was another 1 million problem with an IT project. Then there was investigation. People were demanding lots of information in relation to an advert, which has been filmed to promote the news and current division. Yeah. And that's going to cost around 100 grand. So there was plenty for people to get into, as well as raking over some of the older coals. So in other words, some of the RT employees who had been treated not as employees, but are actually bogus. The bogus issue. So there was an awful lot.
I had a sense that the RTE executives fared better this time. And could that possibly have been related to the fact that it's a new committee with brand new members who may not be as experienced, do you think?
And also some new RTE people as well.
New RTE executives there as well, who weren't there when these issues
so it couldn't get as hot.
Actually happening, yes.
Yeah, and there was a lot of them. Peter Chapclear, again, going back to the hurler, who wasn't on the ditch. Saying that they came in big numbers, they brought the hurling team. So there was that.
And there was a full 11 people.
Yes, so it's more a soccer team.
Which is a soccer team, really, isn't it?
And I suppose there is something too. You do have a lot of younger members on that committee now. And then you've Alan Kelly, who has a certain kind of style in running it, who is trying to fight.
That was a neutral way of putting it, who has a certain kind of style. Do you want to elaborate?
Well, he is right in the sense that answers can become too long. Questions can be banked, which kind of can lead to them maybe not being answered sometimes or being forgotten about along the way. So he's gone for a very clipped, incisive style. And so clipped, in fact, that people can't answer the questions at all. But he talks over them.
He went around the House, around the members, for three rounds of questions as well. So, I mean, he actually moved it on very quickly as well.
I think ultimately, though, when you saw the committee yesterday, this just doesn't have the heat that it did 2 years ago.
Yeah.
It also does not have a celebrity bogeyman involved. It's just not at the same level as it was. And I think there was huge interest from the politicians in getting RTE quickly. Alan Kelly said they would be in again before the end of the year, probably October or something. Maybe there will be other revelations, but it simply didn't ignite in the same way as it did in the past.
It's interesting, but they do come back in again, we need to do our bit to ensure that the quality of podcasts coming from RTE is improved at that point for Alan Kelly.
Michal's upset about that.
No, I'm not. No, I just think it's a big question.
It is a big question.
He knows that he knows that Alan Kelly wasn't talking about us. That's
Of course. I was just going to say, Sandra, though, what it really shows this week is that when the committees got back down to business, we've elicited an awful lot of new information. There's been proper examinations of these issues, which are the issues which have been going unexamined for months and months and months.
Yes, and I think they got some of the key people in pretty quickly. We knew the Arts Council would be coming in, RTE. We've seen Children's Health Ireland. No doubt they will be back. We've seen the National Development Paediatric Board for the new Children's Hospital.
ESRI, so, Central Bank.
Exactly. So, yes, they are up and running. They are eliciting a lot of information, and I think politicians are glad to get stuck in again. And as journalists, we're glad to watch hours and hours and hours of these proceedings.
Yes, indeed, yes. Something else that was in the chamber this week, it was a bill about fox hunting. And if people are close watchers of Dáil Éireann, they'll know that bills can be introduced by any member and at first stage, and they can get agreement generally to allow it to go ahead to second stage, where it's properly engaged with, and generally the government will rule it out. But it happened this week, Micheál, that there was a bill about, as I say, fox hunting introduced by Solidarity TD
Ruth Coppinger.
Thank you very much.
By Paul Murphy of PBP.
And
unusually, it actually was put to a vote.
It was put to the vote because Danny Healy-Ray was really upset about this and fears that if this were to proceed, that there could be legislation that would try and save mouse from being caught in a trap or being taken from a trap. So that's the front that he was trying to fight.
That's the context.
Yeah, so himself and Michael Collins of Independent Ireland made the unusual request to hold a vote on this. So it did go to a vote, but that was defeated fairly comprehensively because government made a decision that they would allow the legislation go to second stage, which is the norm. Mm. Interesting, though, as well as Danny Healy-Ray and Michael Collins, Sinn Féin backed them on that and seemed to oppose this going to the next stage.
Yeah.
I think that was a surprise to some
and
people.
All the government supported the bill. All the government TDs.
To go to the next stage.
To go to the
next it will be opposed. They say they will oppose it at the next stage. Now, Danny Healy-Ray did also give some anecdotal evidence of what the foxes are at in rural Ireland at the moment. A third of his son's lambs were taken by the fox in recent times, and a farmer living nearby him lost 11 out of 12 chickens as well quite recently.
So it's serious stuff. But on the other side of it, of course, Ruth Coppinger was making the very strong argument that this is cruel and inhumane and results in terrible suffering for the foxes, and therefore it should be outlawed. And she says we're the only country in our the only country in Europe, I think, that now has fox hunting. We're an outlier.
And she's been fighting this for a long time. This wasn't something new. She's been active on this, and you know, she was returned. She had a seat, then lost her seat. She's back. And no surprise that this would be something she wants to get debated.
And there's a tradition of this in the Dáil. It goes back to Tony Gregory had several bills of this, like this, along the way as well, that never got over the line. Ruth Coppinger making the point that it's ironic that in the country that introduced this in Britain, and of course it was, there was an aristocratic certain air to some of those hunts along the way that it's going to be banned there, but yet it will continue here. And the people that are advocating for it to continue are people like Danny Healy-Ray very strongly and Michael Collins.
Michael Collins was saying that there was he estimated 200,000 foxes in the country. I think there's probably a lot more than that. I think there's that many probably
in
Dublin City,
Sandra. There's
the
fox around the Dáil. There's one in Trinity. I think we've seen some out in RTE. So,
I'm not aware of the numbers, though.
There is an urban fox survey underway at the moment. It's being coordinated by NUIG and it was referenced on BBC Springwatch the last night.
Right.
So by the end of that, there should be a clear indicator as to how many foxes are in some of the big towns and cities.
That is exactly the type of gem now that you won't get another podcast
delivered
there
have
by
we
you.
Dramatically so improved the standard.
I think the quality is top notch.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we will not be here next week because the Dáil isn't sitting next week. It's a week off for the midterm break and the June bank holiday weekend. We'll return to you after that. So in the meantime, thanks very much for tuning in, tuning our way, and we will be back with you very soon again.